As we gathered here to celebrate the risen Savior, I want to take just a few moments to look to God's Word and rejoice in His resurrection and the good news of the gospel. David Kaysen read our scripture reading this morning from Mark chapter 16. It was also our text this morning at the sunrise service where Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, they went to the graveside, to the tomb that morning. They were looking, expecting to find a dead man. They were going to anoint and finish preparing his body for burial. But when they came to the grave, the stone had been rolled away. Inside was an angelic messenger that, of course, scared them. And yet he spoke to them and declared to them in verse 6 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, he said unto them, "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." There's no doubt he was crucified. He was a dead man, but he is risen.
Amen.
He's not here. Come see the place where the body of Christ lay. See, that's the glorious good news of the gospel. That's the message of Easter, that Jesus died, he was buried, but he rose again. We talked about this morning what that means for us. It means the place of death, the place where everything ends, the tomb, that's where it all begins for us. That's where we find life. That's where we find salvation. That's where the gospel begins. That's where the message of salvation, the salvation of sinners, of redemption, of faith. That's where it all begins, there, at that empty tomb. It's a place where we come by grace through faith in Christ and we're born again, made new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's all because, as our choir has sung, all because He lives. He died, but He rose again. And because of that, we who are dead in our trespasses and sins can now be made alive spiritually. We who are facing our death physically can have the glorious hope of eternal life, everlasting life with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus was building a bridge that would cross this great chasm of sin that has us separated from God. He was building a bridge when He died there on the cross of Calvary to get us across that gap. And His resurrection from the grave is proof the bridge works. The bridge is safe. The bridge is secure. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning for the next few moments. We're going to back up in Mark chapter 15 for a few verses. And I want to speak to you about the bridge from death to life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, again, what a joy to gather and to worship You as Your people and truly, Lord, to celebrate a risen Savior. God, we have sensed Your presence here today. You are the God who inhabits the praises of His people. And we just thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the good news of the gospel, for the Word of God that has been given to us, and for the living Savior in whom we serve. Now, Lord, our prayer is this morning in these next few moments that, Father, You would just speak Your Word and Your truth into our hearts. Lord, as Your people, may we be thrilled. May we be filled with the joy that knowing You brings. But Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, our prayer is that today would be the day that they meet the risen Savior, to have their life changed and to have their eternal destination changed. And Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You and we'll give You the glory for what You accomplished, Lord, through the ministry of Your Spirit and Your Word. Remove every hindering force from this place today. Hide me behind the cross. Fill me with Your Spirit. Free me to preach Your Word. We'll be careful to praise You for what You accomplish in and through it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, bridges is what makes things that are previously inaccessible to us accessible to us. Bridges take us from point A to point B. But they're not just about getting us from point A to point B. They're also about getting us over what's between point A and point B. They're very important when it comes to traveling and transportation. If you want to get from Charleston, point A, to Mount Pleasant, point B, you would want to utilize that great Charleston Bridge. Beautiful bridge. It helps you get over what lies between. It makes it quicker for you to get over what lies between point A and point B. We had the bridge run recently, and people were talking about just how fast some individuals could run that bridge. Didn't impress me. I can drive it a whole lot faster. In fact, when I cross that thing, I'm wanting to get across it as soon as I possibly can. Because it's a beautiful bridge. It's a big bridge. But I don't know what an earthquake or something like that might bring that thing down. I'm not so sure about just how safe it might be. But it gets me to where I need to go. And it's a safe way to travel. Well, we talk about bridges in relationships as well. You know, sometimes there's something between you and another individual. And we talk about, well, sometimes you have to build a bridge. There's some things you have to get over in order to build a bridge in relationships. I would suggest to you this morning, the biggest thing we got to get over in our relationships is ourselves. It takes a lifetime to build a bridge over self. And we need to build it and work on it constantly. But this morning, I want to remind you that there is a chasm, a gap that sin has brought between a holy God and us as sinners. It is a gap that we cannot bridge ourselves. It is a gap that the Lord Jesus Christ bridged for us when he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. See, we've been studying through Genesis and we've been studying about how God created everything and how he created the first man and he placed him in the garden. And Paul's talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. He says, "And so it is written." He's talking about the revelation in Genesis. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God created Adam. He made him a living, conscious, moral being. He was created in the image of God. He was made a living soul. But the Bible tells us, as we've been studying, that God put him in a garden and told him, "Everything's yours. You enjoy everything. But to just show you love me, don't eat of this one tree here in the middle of the garden." And Adam was disobedient. Adam ended up eating that fruit. He disobeyed. And because of that, he fell in sin. And we now are under the curse of sin. It's the reason, it's the secret for everything that's wrong in our world today. Because of sin. Because of death. Death is the result of our sin. See, Paul tells us in Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We're all born in sin now, because this one man, he sinned. And we're born sinners with a sinful nature. Given the choice to do right or wrong, we're going to choose wrong every time. We're sinners. We're in rebellion and rejection of a holy God. But see, that's the good news. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians that God created the first man, the first Adam, a living soul. But he also said this in that same verse, "The last Adam," talking about Jesus, "was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit." He's talking about the Son of God who became a man, who lived a perfect and sinless life, and who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. See, he was obedient to the will of God the Father. And the results of that is this bridge. Paul went on to say in Romans 5, verse 18 and 19, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." See, that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that even though the first man sinned in disobedience and brought the curse of sin, and we're all separated from God by this great chasm of sin, the good news is the second Adam, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, came in obedience to God the Father and His will, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, and so by His obedience, now there's this bridge that has been built for us to get across this gap of sin that has us separated from a holy God. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. And the fact that He rose again from the grave is evidence. It's proof. The bridge is built. It is safe. It is secure for all who will find access to this bridge. And so I want you to notice with me just a few moments in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. How did Jesus build this bridge? Well, it took a cross and it took three nails. He built it on the cross of Calvary. Notice with me this morning from Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 25. I want you to notice with me how Jesus built this bridge. First of all, by hanging on the cross. He built it hanging on the cross. Verse 25 says, "And it was the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, according to the way they reckoned their days and timing. And they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over him, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.'" Mark is characteristic of his gospel. He gets straight to the point. He doesn't take any time. He just tells us this simple truth. They crucified him on the cross. They nailed him to the cross. That crucifixion, it was the Roman means of punishment. It was a terrible, horrible way to die. It was a death of suffering, of pain. It was a death that would be a slow death. Literally, people would suffocate to death when they would get to the point where they could no longer push themselves up to get a breath of air. He was crucified on that cross, and above him was the accusation. Here was his accusation in charge. "This is the King of the Jews." Nothing there worthy of being killed, crucified on that cross. But that was the charge. And that's exactly who he was. He was the Messiah. He was the King of the Jews. He was the promised Messiah and Son of God and promised King of the Jews. But Mark tells us he was crucified between two thieves. And that was a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, talking about the coming Messiah and King of the Jews. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." In other words, when they nailed him to the cross, when they crucified him as the King of the Jews, they literally treated him as the transgressor. They treated him just like they did those other two criminals, those two thieves, those who were guilty and facing that punishment and that death. They treated him as if he had sinned. See, folks, that's the message of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. That God treated his son just as if he had sinned, so he could treat you and I just as if we had never sinned. Amen. See, the only way he could build that bridge was by hanging on the cross and being treated as the transgressor. He had to be treated as if he was the one that caused the gap. As if he was the one that caused this separation between a holy God and sinners. He was on the cross, hanging on the cross. But notice how he continued to build this bridge. He continued building it by staying on the cross. Look what it said in verse 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him, mocked him. Notice Mark tells us of all the people that was mocking Jesus hanging on the cross. Those that passed by. They were saying, "Oh, you said you could rebuild the temple in 3 days? It ought to be easy for you to come down off of that cross. Come down off of that cross." They were mocking him. See, this tells me something. The people that passed by the cross that day, they knew what Jesus taught. They knew the things that Jesus said. They knew in John chapter 2 when he was talking about, he said he could rebuild the temple in 3 days. But see, what they didn't know was the truth about what he was teaching. He wasn't talking about a temple of stones. He was talking about the temple of his body. He was talking about how the fact that he would die on the cross and on the third day rise again from the grave. Those chief priests and those scribes, they came by and wailed, and they were mocking as well. "He saved others, but himself he cannot save. Won't you come down? If you'll come down, we'll believe. If you let us see that, we'll believe. He saved others, himself he cannot save." You know what that tells me about these guys? They knew all about what Jesus did, but they didn't have a clue as to what he was doing. They had experienced the ministry of Christ. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen the healings. In fact, just a few weeks earlier, there was a dead man that Jesus had raised from the grave. News was spread. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. "Won't you come down? If you come down, we'll believe." See, there's the problem. If they would have believed, they would have seen. If they'd have believed because of what he did, they would have understood what he was doing on the cross. See, he didn't come down off of the cross because he could come down. He could save himself. But if he'd have saved himself, he wouldn't have saved us as sinners. If he didn't stay on the cross, the bridge wouldn't be complete. If he didn't experience the judgment and wrath of God, the bridge would not work. It would not be safe. And so these people were mocking him. "Come on down." The criminals, the thieves, for a while, they were mocking him. But Luke tells us in Luke chapter 23 that after a while, one of those thieves began to understand. And in faith, he looked over to Jesus and he said, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." Let me just put it this way. Here's what I believe he was saying. "Jesus, when you get finished building that bridge, I want to cross it with you." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." This bridge is going to be done today. There's going to be a way. And see, there's a lot of people in this world today, and maybe someone in this room, you know all about what Jesus taught, but you've never received the truth of what he taught. You know all about what Jesus did, but you've never surrendered your life by grace through faith, accepted what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. He was building a bridge, the only bridge from death to life. He did that hanging on the cross. He did that staying on the cross. But the bridge wasn't done. See, he had to also be forsaken on the cross. Look what it goes on to say in verse 33 and verse 34. "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is being interpreted, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" It's 12 o'clock noon now. All of the earth becomes dark. The sun refuses to shine. It's a physical manifestation of what spiritually is transpiring. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's being treated as a transgressor. He's been mocked, and yet he's staying on that cross because he has to stay there in order to save sinners. And now he is becoming forsaken by God. As the Son of God, he is experiencing something he's never experienced before. He's being separated from fellowship with God because he has become sin. He's quoting the psalmist David in Psalms 22, where it says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That thing that he dreaded, that thing that brought great sweat drops like blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, was occurring on the cross from 12 to 3. He was being forsaken. In Mark 14, verse 36, he had said, "Abba, Father," in the Garden of Gethsemane, "all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Oh, Lord, if there's any other way that I could do this and build this bridge without being forsaken by you and separated from fellowship with you, if there's any other way we could do this, then I'd love to do it. But nevertheless, your will be done. And he was forsaken on the cross. He suffered there temporarily so that you and I would never have to suffer that eternally. He cried, my God, why has you forsaken me?" so that you and I would never have to cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was building a bridge. A bridge that would cross this huge, impassable gap of sin for you and I. And this bridge was almost complete. He completed it when he died on the cross. Notice what the next two verses tell us. Verse 37, verse 38. "And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." Now, Mark doesn't tell us what he cried with a loud voice, but John did. John was there. John records it. John 19, verse 30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head. And he gave up the ghost." In other words, everything that needed to be done to build this bridge was done. The bridge is done. The bridge is finished. The chasm is crossed. this gap of sin that separated us from a holy God. There's a bridge across it. Jesus didn't have his life taken on the cross. He gave his life on the cross. He cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And then he gave up the ghost. He was a priest making a sacrifice. He was offering himself in the place of you and I. He was taking the judgment of God for our sin. For he had no sin. He was bridging that gap. And he did the only thing that would satisfy the demands of a holy God. He gave a sacrifice. And he gave himself as that sacrifice. And what did it do? It not only satisfied the demands of a holy God, but it now reveals the love of God and the compassion of God, and provides a way for those who are separated from God to return to fellowship and enter a relationship with a holy God. Well, Pastor, how do you know that bridge is complete? How do you know it's safe and secure? Well, the next verse tells us, when he did that, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. See, that veil in the temple, it separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. Only the high priest could enter once a year behind that veil and place the blood of the sacrifice. It represented the coming sacrifice of Christ. It provided a covering for sin, but it only pointed to Jesus who would provide cleansing for sin. And that way was closed. You couldn't go there. But when Jesus died, the veil was rent from top to bottom, not from the bottom to the top. The priest didn't get it and tear it from the bottom to the top because they couldn't do it anyway, if you know anything about how thick that veil was and how it was made. But it was rent from the top to the bottom, meaning God had done it. There'd been a bridge now. There'd been a gap crossed. Now that had us separated from God was no longer there. This bridge is open. This access is open. Now there's a doorway. Now there's a way for sinners to enter into the presence of a holy God. There's a way we can cross this chasm of sin. And it's not just a way from being sinners and spiritually dead to spiritual life. It's also a way from physical death to eternal life. Because you see, Jesus on the third day got up out of the grave. He rose again. Oh yeah, Jesus was crucified. I know you're seeking him. The angel said, yeah, he was a dead man, but he is risen. He's not here. Come see the place where the body of Christ lay. See, the grave is not the end for us who are in Christ. It's the beginning. The place where everything ends is the place where it only gets started for us in Christ. There's this glorious bridge from death to life. Finally, I want you to notice one other thing about this bridge. Jesus hung on the cross. He stayed on the cross. He was forsaken on the cross. He died on the cross. And here's the good news. Now there's salvation at the foot of the cross. Verse 39, listen what it says. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. I want to remind you, this Roman centurion, he was the one responsible for nailing Jesus to the cross. He's the one that made sure he was hung on the cross. And if you haven't figured it out yet already, let me just tell you something I figured out on October 1st, 1987. I was responsible for nailing Jesus to the cross. It was my sin, not the nails, that held him to the cross. And as he hung on the cross, as the people mocked and told him to come down, save yourself, the centurion's watching and he's listening, and Jesus stays. And he hears Jesus cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he begins to perceive what's happening here. And then he hears him cry, it's finished, and he gives up the ghost and he dies. He literally lets his life go. He lays it down, and the centurion, that Roman soldier, that Gentile, stood at the cross of the King of the Jews and said, this truly, this man was truly the Son of God. Folks, that's where salvation occurs, at the foot of the cross. It's when we see our sin and recognize Jesus dying for our sins, being judged by God for our sins, paying the price and penalty of to God for our sin, which is death, that we are able to acknowledge there's a bridge built now, and by grace through faith we can receive that gift of forgiveness. We can receive eternal life by professing faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so it wasn't just Jesus, the King of the Jews, hanging on that cross. According to that Roman centurion, I want to tell you this, it was Jesus, the Savior of sinners. The Savior of a world of sinners. See, there's a bridge built now, folks, from death to life. It's a bridge from being spiritually dead and separated from God in your sins to becoming spiritually alive in Christ and forgiven and made right with God, declared righteous, not by your works, but by His grace through faith in Him. But not only are we a bridge from death to life spiritually, but there's a bridge from death to life physically. Jesus got up from the grave. It's proof the bridge is built. It's proof the bridge is safe and secure. For when you come and cross this bridge by grace through faith in Christ, whenever you come to your grave, to your tomb, death becomes the doorway. The tomb becomes the way whereby we leave death and we enter into life, into heaven and eternal life. It's a safe bridge to cross. It's a secure bridge. But the only way you can access it, the on-ramp, is at the foot of the cross. You have to come through repentance of sin and saving faith. God grant that someone get on that bridge this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to these final moments and enter into a time of invitation, we trust and pray that your Spirit and your Word will work in our hearts and lives. Fill us with joy as your people. Lord, convict us of the sin, the selfishness, the pride in our lives that hinders our witness and hinders our walk with you. Lord, we also pray if there's one here this morning who's never trusted in you, Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, thank you for the bridge you built. A bridge we could never build, but a bridge that's safe and secure for all who come to you by grace and faith. Lord, may many come to know you today. And in the coming days, we pray, many will enter your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You stand with me this morning as we take this moment, a hymn of invitation.